Lecture topic: Contaminating our children with the environment.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Complete blessings and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May they also be upon all his companions, and may the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon us and upon our offspring inshallah up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Ameen. And may he grant us the intercession of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, and dearest listeners, on the globe today we find a strange situation, a very strange situation. Today I wish to speak on part of the situation that we find on the globe that we are affected by. And in order to discuss the situation, I have chosen to mention a few verses of the Quran, some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, connected to a certain type of division of the people around us. What that means is, we are going to classify the people around us into three categories. These categories are derived by looking at certain verses of the Quran, and they are very easily understood. The first category, those who are believers, those who do good deeds, those who protect their private parts, those who protect their tongues, those who protect their eyes, those who protect all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who protect themselves against the prohibitions of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. In the opening verses of Suratul Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that the believers shall be successful. And Allah mentions many of their qualities, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. He speaks of those who are honest, those who do not break their trust, and so on. These are the highest people. May Allah make us from amongst them. These are those who have believed. It is not enough to say, I'm a believer, I'm a believer. Nor is it enough to say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. And your actions are in another valley altogether. We are in one valley, saying we are in another valley. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And our actions are possibly even in a third valley. So what we need to do is, we need to act upon what we are uttering.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun.
O you who believe, why are you uttering that which you do not act upon? It's a fact, straight. We all utter words, mashallah. We say, La ilaha illallah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we end that statement by saying, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Indeed, we believe, firm belief, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, the final prophet. We are from amongst his followers. That is the meaning of that statement. Now we utter that, but are we really and truly followers? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. But no one should lose hope. No one should lose hope, because there is always room for improvement and there is time. We are still breathing. Everyone who is seated here today and everyone who is listening today, alhamdulillah, we are still breathing. So we have an opportunity and a moment. Every breath addresses us. Every breath addresses us, saying, turn to Allah. I am going to stop one day. Turn to Allah. I am going to stop one day. So we don't want it to be too late, where we don't turn to Allah, then we die in the condition where there is a bottle in our hand. Imagine dying even with a cigarette in somebody's hand. Is it a good death? Let's be honest. May Allah protect those who are smokers, and may Allah help them to give it up slowly but surely. Everyone who smokes knows it's bad. You are not allowed to sell a box of cigarettes without writing on it, this thing kills you. It's a fact. It's illegal to sell cigarettes without writing on the box that this is harmful, not may be harmful. Many years ago they used to write this may be harmful. The law changed throughout the globe. It is harmful. It shall kill you. So the person who smokes knows that that is the case. Now, there are some who are addicted, yes. But in their hearts, the ones who are heading in the right direction are the ones who are trying to minimize. Somebody who's been smoking 30 cigarettes a day, they cut down to 20. One third of the problem is solved, 2/3 remaining. Then they cut down to 10, 2/3 of the problem solved, 1/3 remaining. They are heading somewhere. Inshallah. May Allah make it easy for all of us. But the person who has no plan, nothing at all, imagine Malakul Maut comes to us whilst we are busy smoking, we die with one cigarette in the hand. It's not a good death. Now, I am not dooming those who smoke, not at all. Because compared to that which is happening on the globe today, many would feel that this is something slightly more tolerable. We are not condoning it. We are not saying it is acceptable. But if you compare it to drugs, you compare it to alcohol, you compare it to the other sins, one might feel that slightly this might go past, you see, because of a certain fatwa at one stage where it was said that it is makruh tahrimi. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Why I'm mentioning this is because our actions are in one valley. What we utter is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think he would have liked that? And I've chosen to speak on something very light. Smoking is something which people regard as lighter. And it is definitely lighter than drinking and those who are on drugs and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. But as I said, there is hope. We are still breathing. We are still breathing. Every breath speaks to you. Our hearts are still beating. Every heartbeat utters words to us. But we can't hear because of our weakness. We can't hear it. When the heart pains physically, we feel it. But when the heart screams and yells at us to say, I've got 3,000 more beats remaining, we don't even feel that. I've got 2,999 beats remaining, 2,998. Oh, that's less than even a day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. One doctor told me that the heart beats 106,000 times a day. I don't know if I remember the figure correctly, or possibly 300 something thousand a day. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Whatever it is a lot. And we need to understand that that heart is going to stop. Put your hand on it. You'll feel it boom, 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 boom beating. But at the same time, it's going to stop one day. We need to prepare for that day. That is what makes us mu'mineen. To believe in the fact that my heart is going to stop. That makes you a mu'min. And Allah, I'm responsible and answerable to him. I bear witness in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yaqeen and iman I have in my heart that I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is going to drive me inshallah to doing good. And when I do good, it makes me happy. Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, accept that good deed from me. Ya Allah, today I got up for Fajr and I read Fajr, mashallah, in the masjid with jama'ah. Ya Allah, grant me comfort. That day, even if you haven't made that dua, you'll feel the contentment in your heart inshallah. When you get up early for the sake of Allah, 10 minutes ahead of time, and you come to the masjid and sit and open one Quran, read 5 lines, close it and see how you feel. That whole day Allah will grant you barakah. This is iman. So the top category of people we find around us are those who are believers. Amongst the believers, there are certain categories which we are not going to go into right now. In a nutshell, those who are good and those who are mediocre. We don't want to say bad. Mediocre meaning iman is there, but not up to date, which means the person, there is a lot of room for improvement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improve us all. No matter where we have got to, we are insan, we are not perfect. So, we will always have room for improvement, some more and some slightly less. Some need to improve major issues, some need to improve now minor issues. So, that is the first category. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what He has prepared for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, firstly, those who believe, we shall grant them in the dunya goodness. We will even grant them power at times. We will even grant them some contentment in this dunya at their economic and financial levels. Whatever we have given them, they shall be happy with. It's a sign of iman. Don't we all say, "Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala." Good and bad fate is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We utter that, but do we believe in it? The test happens when your whole family dies and you're the only one who's remaining. Then now there is a test. You've been uttering this all your life. Now let's see if you believe it. If you question Allah, why me? There's something wrong. We need to, inshallah, improve, and we must not make that statement. You suffer a huge loss. You see the belief in taqdeer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests it. How does he test it? By inflicting a person with a little bit of adversity. So that person, for example, say someone suffers a car accident whereby a toe has been amputated. Now, if that person says, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal wa a'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar, I thank Allah upon every condition and I praise him, but I seek Allah's protection that I should not see the condition of the people of Jahannam. I must not be there. Then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen that this person has been inflicted with what I would, with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terms a test, but we term it adversity. And the person was surrendering to our decree. The person did not compete with us. That means their iman, inshallah, is solid. Solid meaning that the person believes and is proving that they believe. That is what is meant by it. The person believes, they say that we believe, and they are proving that they believe it. But now when a person has a robbery at home and they become depressed and they start questioning, why me? Why is Allah so cruel to me? Na'udhu billah. Your iman can be lost with statements of that type. That the statements of that nature are not meant to come about. Someone is married and then they find a little bit of up and down in the marriage. And they begin to say, no, why am I suffering? Look at all my friends and look at all those people. They are so happy in their marriages. Don't compare your marriage. You make your marriage work. Comparing your marriage shall not provide solutions to your problems. Nor will sitting and agonizing provide solutions to your problems. But what will provide solutions is to make dua to Allah, to make two rakats of salah, to try and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you content, to try and ask Allah to grant you solutions to your problems and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make things easy for us. So this is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every single person is tested with at some point or another. The second category of people described in the Quran in a few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the kuffar. And I'm going to read the verse and I'll translate part of it only.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ.
Allah says, those kuffar, they are enjoying. They are enjoying. And they are eating just like the cattle eat. They are eating just like the cattle eat. And their abode in the Akhirah is not going to be a very wanted abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared torment for such people. Now one might ask, well, Allah has given the example of cattle. Why? Very good question. Because it brings us to the second category of people. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ.
Allah is describing a certain type of people and Allah says they are like animals. Like cattle, to be more precise. They are like cattle. Cattle are animals. Now, immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ.
Nay, they are even worse. So Allah has described two more categories. Allah has described two categories. Those who are similar to the cattle and those who are worse than cattle. Now let's take a look at why is it that there is a distinguishing line between those who are like animals and those who are worse than animals. Very simple to understand. Let us study the life of any animal, not only the cattle. Any animal. If a person is exactly like an animal, what does an animal live upon? Upon nature. Tabi'a. An animal is ala al-fitra. An animal is on nature, pure and clean nature. An animal understands freedom in the correct sense of the term freedom because an animal is really free. There's no, animals don't have a president and a parliament. They don't have elections. And so on. They move ala al-fitra. They move, their brain capacity is minute. In most animals, even though the size of the brain is big, so that mashallah we can have what they call bejwa and so on. But at the same time, what is used from that is very, very little. But you take a look at a cow, for example. Every morning at 6:30, if you are to go out as a farmer with some fodder or some hay or some food for that cow, the cows will understand. At 6:30, this man comes with food, let us run towards him. At 6:30, all the cows will find them at your doorstep. You will find the cows at your doorstep. What does that mean? The cow has understood where good comes from. Goodness comes from this direction. Let me run towards it. So if a person is living like a cow, like cattle, they will, nature will lead them to understand in which direction goodness is coming from. Nature will lead them to understand that there is goodness from this side. Let me run towards it. And that same nature will make them go towards goodness. Now, ask ourselves, are human beings like this? There are categories of human beings that are not like this. Let me take it further. A cow, if you find the butcher or the slaughterer every morning coming in at 6:30 and taking one cow a day, one, just one, those farms that are very small, one cow a day, you will find that when that man comes out, even though they have not seen the knife, the cows, it will be a mission to get even one cow. Because the cows have understood that every day, one of our brethren are disappearing. And something sinister is going on here. So the cows will scream and shout and they will moo all their, meaning for the entire hour. And they will race away here and there. They will charge because they know that no, there is evil coming to us from this direction. We need to go away. Allahu Akbar. So if we or if any insan, say, not, let's not take a look at the mu'mineen because the mu'mineen are on a higher level, as I've explained. But if you take a look at people around us, if they claimed that we are free, we are enjoying freedom, if that freedom was governed by nature, it would lead them to understanding in which direction evil is coming to them from, and they would stay away from it straight away by nature. If the word freedom was governed by nature, how the cows and the pigs understand freedom, then that means that it would lead them naturally to understand where evil is coming from and stay away from it. If you think that that is a good point, let's listen to the next one. Nature saves cattle, cows, donkeys, pigs, and so on from homosexuality. Nature. A cow and a pig and a donkey and a monkey, they understand the term freedom through nature without contamination of anyone and anything. Do we agree? No contamination. No one told them anything. They wouldn't comprehend. You could talk to them your whole life. But put two male pigs in one pen for 30 years. Will they touch one another? Let's be honest. They will die. Nothing has happened between the two. That is a pig for you. So if people lived and understood freedom like a pig understands it, they would never engage in homosexuality. Nor would they look at it as freedom, because even a pig doesn't. It's a fact of life. And Allah doesn't give the example of a pig. Akramakumullah, may Allah purify all of us. Pig is very dirty. Allah gives the example of cattle. Because cattle, when you say a cow, when you say a bull, it sounds much better. But the example is the same. Put two bulls in one pen for 30 years. You'll find them eating and they're happy and they're content. They've never ever thought of mating because they are two males. Never, never. Even put two cows, the females. Never. So the idea here is we have a category of people who are like animals. If they are like animals, truly, nature will lead them to staying away from homosexuality. Let me take it further. That means those who are promoting homosexuality, honestly speaking, the Quran describes them as worse than cattle. Because the cattle don't do this. How can we think of it? It's totally absurd, outside nature, contaminated brain. Now, take a look at any animal that gives birth. What does it do to the child, to the little product? It looks after that product with its life, starting from a hen. A hen, as small as it may be, it will fly to poke its beak in your eye if you try and tamper with those chicklets. It's a fact of life. So nature leads a mother to look after the children properly. Recently, I was at a game reserve in Port Elizabeth. And I tell you, we were watching the rhinos. And those rhinos, there were three. There was a male, a female, and a little rhino. They take turns. The rangers were explaining to us how the male and female take turns. They spray, the male sprays urine in order to demarcate his territory. Nothing must come in that territory, otherwise they've had it. So the mother and the father, so to speak, are looking after the baby, taking turns, and the father plays his role and the mother plays his role, her role. Which means if people are like animals, exactly, they would look after their children properly. When a calf goes to suckle, you watch it and see the love of that cow. You'll understand that nothing besides nature has driven that cow to love that calf. You will witness them crying if they are separated. Crying. Look at the kittens. Look at the dogs. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Yet insan chooses something else. We have human beings, good human beings. They wouldn't be bothered about their own children. Allah says,
لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
Allah says, we have created man in the best of postures. Man has the unique brain that works the most, the best brain, the best posture. Man is so mobile. Man can walk in a manner that no other creature of Allah can walk. Ashraful makhluqati. I'm sure we've heard the term. Man, the most honored of all creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, then we have degraded them to lower of the lowest, or the lowest of the low. Except those who believe and do good deeds. That is the exception. Some of the Qurra, they say, don't stop there. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Some of the Qurra say, you must say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to make sure that everyone knows there is an exception here. The exception is, besides those who believe and do good deeds, for them is a great reward, abundant reward, as we know the end of Surah At-Tin. Some of the scholars of Qira'ah, they say, try and continue there. It's not a must. It's just something I'm mentioning to highlight the exception. That's the first category we spoke about, those who believe. But Allah says, now why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say lowest of the low? Do we now see? Because from amongst men, there are people who promote that which even an animal cannot think of, and they call it freedom. They call it freedom. The fact of the matter is, today, if we understood freedom like a pig, may Allah protect us all and honor us, akraman Allahu jami'a, we wouldn't be engaging in such activity. No one would be promoting gays and lesbians and so on. Which animal intoxicates itself? Let's be honest here. Allahu Akbar. I'm using the example of one of the worst animals. Which animal intoxicates itself? Nothing. Not even the worst. You won't find an animal intoxicating itself intentionally. I've read on the internet of human beings who tried out something, a study, and they went out and they tried to make some monkeys drink because they wanted to see how the monkeys are when they are drunk. Only man can think of trying to make a monkey drunk. Only man can think of that. Even the monkey itself did not think of it. Man said, let's try, let's test, let's see what goes on here. May Allah save us and protect us. So today we have these three major classes of people around us. Inshallah, we are from the first who are believers. The believers, let me inform you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us very clearly, those who love rules and regulations, those who love rules and regulations, the rules and regulations of Islam, the ones that govern you, they shall be the best of people.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة.
O you who believe, enter into submission in totality. Submit all the rules and regulations, not part and leave part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah,
أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ.
Are you believing in part of the book, part of the revelation, part of the rules, where it suits you, and then you are leaving the other part that doesn't suit you? Allah says,
فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ.
What is going to be the recompense of a person who follows part of the rules that suit them and leaves the other part? Allah says that their recompense is disgrace in this dunya, and thereafter in the akhirah they shall be turned to severe punishment. When we are weak, we should not deny the law of Islam. You say, Ya Allah, that is your law. I am guilty of not having been strong enough to follow it. But Ya Allah, that is the law, and I know it is the law. Recently I spoke about polygamy in Port Elizabeth. And I said, the women folk need to be taught an answer. You know, unfortunately, due to the Indo-Pak upbringing, many of our women folk find it difficult to even speak about the topic. But the fact, and it's our duty as ulama to teach our sisters, if you are weak, don't deny the hukam of Allah. But say, look, I am weak. It's Allah's hukam. I know He allows you to have four, but I am weak. I have not yet got to the level where I might be able to stomach it. Like you are telling someone, listen, I want you to get up for tahajjud every day. They don't deny. They shouldn't deny that tahajjud is a salah. That is very important. They must say, look, tahajjud is there, mashallah. It is a sunnah. We must be reading it, but I haven't yet got to that level. So now your iman is intact, because there is something that you are admitting that it is, yes, a very powerful rule of Islam. It is somewhere, if you engage in it, you shall get to a new level of iman, inshallah. Meaning, you shall get a new level of taqwa in you. Someone who gets up for tahajjud every day, they are on another level of piety. Inshallah. May Allah make it easy for us even once in our lives, twice, three times, once a month at least. So the same way a lady who says polygamy is haram, she lost her iman, finished, gone. Because you are denying a verse of the Quran. I've heard some saying, no, it's something very backdated. To say one verse of the Quran is backdated, you lose your iman. You need to renew your whole nikah. It's very, very dangerous. So rather than that, the sisters, if you are weak, all you've got to say is, you know what, the Quran says it, we know that, we admit it, we agree, we know that it is there, we are still weak, make dua, inshallah. So at least the man can smile to say, my wife said I must just make dua. Alhamdulillah. Even if that dua for 60 years doesn't come to be, but at least he will smile. Look, everybody is smiling here, mashallah. So that is the thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the duas. Ameen. Oh, listen to all the ameens. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I see it's a hot topic. So, the idea here is to know how to look at the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to make ourselves truly from that first category. If we weak, we weak. We didn't yet get up for tahajjud. But don't deny that that's our aim, inshallah. Say, Ya Allah, one day I want to get there. Ya Allah, make me strong. One day I want to get there. And there are so many other things that we need to look at. But to deny it and to say, no, tahajjud, you know, is for only for the prophets. How can we say that? How can we say that? I've heard somebody saying that. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read it more regularly than everybody else. But at the same time, he definitely encouraged us to read tahajjud. And we know that after that salatul maktuba and the farad and the witr, we know that tahajjud has a very, very high rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He make us strong, inshallah. So those who love rules and regulations and enter into submission in totality, they have a greater chance of success in the dunya and in the akhirah. Whenever there is a rule and you like it, and this goes to the little children, as well as to the adults, as well as to those who are even more old, the teenagers and everyone put together, where even if your parents are saying, you know what, please go to the fridge and get me water, the one who says, ah, that one will be a flop in his life or her life. But the one who says, no problem, let me get up. What are they doing? They are streamlining themselves to that which is good. To listen to that which is good. That is something that will mold you. Remember, you can't just get good character and conduct overnight. It's a chip that they plug into your ear and take out the following morning and it's all downloaded in your brain. It doesn't happen that way. Once when I said this, someone said, no, hang on, it might come. I said, never, it can never come. It can't come. We were speaking today about a certain Quran, And I actually went very far in imagination. And I told him, there will come spectacles that you put on. You put a chip in your ear. You can hear from your ear. And you are looking through the spectacles. You don't have to look far, because on this, in the spectacles, there will be a three-dimensional image that will go into your eyes. You'll be reading the Quran. You'll be hearing it in your ears. You'll be able to utter it aloud and correct it one time. It's possible. It's possible. It's not impossible. Now, I gave an example of Quran. May Allah grant us that example, inshallah. Some people are giving example of other movies and so on in Hollywood and Bollywood. Inshallah, we want to save ourselves from all those fitnas. Those are the issues and items that lead us astray. I tell you, those who watch a soap, for example, watch the enthusiasm that they follow, people who are paid. I have seen people who tell me, you know, but it's so real, it makes us cry. They cry tears that they haven't cried when they read the Quran. It's a fact of life. Now take a look at how our iman is being stolen from us. You're following a movie. People are paid in Hollywood. No one got hurt. Absolutely no one. They paid. There's tomato sauce that is being used instead of blood, and we're crying. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Had they not used that in there, we probably would have fed a few more poor people with some bottles of tomato sauce. So this is something we need to look at. That when ulama say this is wrong, we must understand, yes, it's wrong. If a person is weak, put a plan in action. Those who are watching television, set a deadline to say, listen, I am only going to cut down to so much. I'm going to cut down to so much. Then I'm cutting down to the news. Then I will listen to the radio news. Better. It's still news. I don't have to watch and see all this. Because I tell you, when you have a television in the home, it leads to destruction. It has led to the taking away of akhlaq. It has led to people's sexual behavior becoming so immoral that that verse comes into play, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We have dropped them to the lowest of the low. So if we want to protect ourselves and our children, something very easy, let them become real people. You know, when I was in school, we used to have a civvies day, once a term, towards the end of the term. Civvies day meaning, you come with your own clothes. You come with your own clothes, you don't have to wear uniform. And because you didn't come with uniform, you must pay a fine. So you pay a fine of so much. And if you come with uniform, you pay a bigger fine. So it was a way of making money. At the end of the school term, I'm sure some of the schools have that here, I'm sure. So when I used to go with a kurta and a proper abaya and a mishlah and a bisht and a shimar and what have you, one of our English teachers, English woman Christian, she looked at me and she says, I can tell you don't have a television in your house. And I said, I'm looking and I'm thinking now, we were children, it was an embarrassment to say, yes, I don't. You see? But I had to say it. I said, no, I don't have a television. That's correct. But how do you know, ma'am? She says, I know because you are original. All these others are fools. They're trying to live like someone else. Allahu Akbar. They're trying to live like people they've watched. So someone comes in their shorts. Others, one come with those earrings. And people come with tattoos here. And those, because we weren't allowed tattoos at school, they come with different types of paintings and all that on their bodies. And they're happy with that. You know, you have a fun day. You take a look at the fun days today. They paint the children's faces and they get happy, like clowns. That is an un-Islamic idea, totally un-Islamic. Now, when our children become happy with that, you must know there's TV around somewhere. You must know that. They are watching other people. Otherwise, if they were on nature, without having been contaminated by others, they would say, Mommy, look at these people, they look like idiots painting their faces. It's a fact. But when they themselves, the mummy herself will say, come, let's go and paint the face. We pay 5 rands. Allahu Akbar. Look at where we are. We don't even know what's right and wrong sometimes. May Allah make us strong. May Allah make us strong. It is really something we need to think of. Sometimes there is wrong that is happening in our own homes. And we haven't picked it up because we've never thought about it. Never thought about it. So, the first category of people, the people who love rules and regulations. Believe me, the more rules and regulations you love, the more successful you are. When you go to school, you are disciplined. Why then suddenly when you go to madrasa, then you are not worried about punctuality? Whenever I attend little madrasas for the children, I ask them questions. First question, how many of you have ever been late for school in the morning? And they think twice, is this guy asking the right question? We are in madrasa here. Why is he asking about school? It's a correct question. How many of you have been late for school in the morning? No one. How many of you have been late for madrasa? The whole madrasa puts up their hand. The whole madrasa puts up their hand. Surely it should be the other way around. Or at least we should, if we're not late there, we shouldn't be late here. We're 10 minutes early. If school opens at 7:45, believe me, we are guilty of dropping the child at 7:25, 7:20. But madrasa starts at 2:00, 2:30, we're driving in on two wheels. We come into the madrasa, say, Maulana, Maulana, I'm a little bit late. Nowadays, forget about Maulana being telling the Maulana I'm late. Before it was asking the Maulana, then it became telling the Maulana. Then it became expecting the Maulana to understand. Then when the Maulana raises a question, roll your sleeves and go. And then, now it's become picking up guns. Really, we've heard madrasas where parents come, take their guns to the ustad's head and say, hey, watch out. Wallahi qasaman bi rabbil bayt. It has happened. May Allah safeguard us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So, what really and truly people who want to think like that, do that, what do they expect their children to be? What type of behavior do they want their children to have? Something we need to think about. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes to that second category that I spoke about. People who are like animals. To be honest with you, when someone is precisely like an animal, they're not as bad as those who are worse than animals. That's why Allah has mentioned both of them in that verse. Kal-an'ami, then he says, no, balhum abal, they are even worse. Which means they don't even fit in the category of animals. Animals are better. That's what it means. So, you have people who are like animals, the ordinary kuffar, who don't have iman, don't have iman. And you find that if they understand that goodness comes from this direction, they walk towards it, evil comes from that direction, they run away from it, they have their children whom they look after and so on, they understand that the issues that are against nature, such as the gay marriages and the homosexuality and so on, intoxication, and items of this nature, they are all bad. They understand and comprehend it through nature. Inshallah, there is a bit of hope in that category. It wouldn't be very difficult for them to understand that Islam is correct and to enter the fold of Islam. May Allah guide the non-Muslim to Islam. But today, and this is what I'm going to speak on a little bit longer, we have a crisis. The crisis is our youth and our children are being contaminated day and night by the environment, almost in its totality. 90% of our surroundings are leading our children astray. You walk into the mall, nobody's a good example there. Illa man rahim Allah, unless you see one or two good Muslims who are there dressed properly. You go into a mall, forget about the Muslims or the people who are there, what they are selling, a lot of it, 80% of it, would probably be, especially in clothing, would probably be questionable. You know, when you go to buy your children's stuff, really, that which has an animate object on it is haram, totally forbidden. Even if it is a cartoon of Tom and Jerry, and it's a little image at the back, it's haram. But I've known parents who come to me and say, but I have no option. Buy, get a tailor and sew your clothes. They say, no, but then we can't stick up to the trends. Look at how much pressure there is in the environment that we have to compromise our deen because we want something to look nice on our children. If you really have to buy that Tom and Jerry, execute them behind. What that means is, rub off the face. How many would like to do that? How many would like to do that? I know of one specific case that comes to my mind where a certain father brought for me to see a t-shirt for the little child with some cartoon image on it. And he was like an artist and he drew with a permanent marker a hood on top of that face. So it looked like it was the cartoon still and the image wasn't spoilt, but the face was covered with what would look like a hood. He told me, is this okay? I said, yeah, it's okay. It's better because at least the face is covered. Now we say, Maulana, you know, my child is suffering from this and that. Well, what clothing did you clothe your child? So the farishtas, the angels of protection, you chase them away from your child. If you have an animate object in your house that is hung up, the angels of protection run away. They run far from that house. So Allah has placed bodyguards for me and you, angels of protection and mercy, and we are chasing them away from our own children. Then we say, nazar. You know, nazar. And we say, jadu. And we say this and that. But the angels were not there. There was no ayatul kursi read in the morning. And if we read it also in the morning, we're blowing, but we're blowing where the angels are not even there, because the clothing of that child is wrong. Our small little girls, for example, dressing them in a skirt, that is unacceptable. What will happen? As the child grows, the child will want to wear that skirt. It is something we need to think of. Even the dressing of the child. Why am I mentioning this? Because by giving in to one thing, it will lead to another. What's the next? No, I have Barbie drawn on my, say, skirt or my t-shirt. Now I need the Barbie pencil case. So now when you go to school, also the farishtas are gone. Then I need the Barbie pencil. Now when you're writing also, in madrasa we're writing, we're learning how to write Arabic. What Arabic is that child going to learn how to write? When the pencil itself has portraits of all these things, when portraits are haram, then you find people who come to tell you, no, it's a minor issue, minor issue. What minor issue? Today the globe is suffering. How many people are complaining of jadu and witchcraft and nazar, and everyone is blaming superstition? We ourselves are guilty of inflicting it upon ourselves. In our houses, how many of us have portraits and pictures and photos hanging up everywhere, here and there? That can change tonight. Let's re-invite the farishtas. Imagine if you're a big president and you've got bodyguards, and you know that it's a dangerous time where people are doing dirty things and bad things, and you tell the bodyguards, come on, just leave, go from here, get out. I don't want to see your people's faces. You'd be foolish. No president has done that. They know that we need this. Now us as human beings, Allah gives us bodyguards. Allah gives us angels of mercy and protection. We chase them away. You know one thing, very important for all of us. When you swear, the angels run away 40 miles, according to one narration. Minnatni ma ja'a bihi. Because of the stench and the smell of your mouth. You know when someone has eaten onions, freshly cut, then they come and whisper in your ear. Your ear can smell, believe me. Your ear begins to smell because of the strength of that smell. It happens. And sometimes a person who is a chain smoker, when they speak to you sometimes, your ears begin to hear, to smell. Your ears begin to smell. You might be thinking, what do I mean? They're talking here, but you can smell somehow, you can smell that, hey, it's a bit heavy, and you need to actually move away. And then sometimes they'll cover their mouth and talk to you. What we're saying is cut down on smoking, number one. Number two is, what we're also saying is, when a person swears, that stench can only be smelt by the angels. The angels can smell that stench. So that angels feel so hurt and they run away. How many of us swear every day? Now surely we need to cut down. Or if we have sworn by mistake, engage in istighfar immediately. And you find, inshallah, we will solve our problem. We must be conscious of what comes out of our mouth. Today, if you take a look, mashallah, you have all the little ingredients, you have so many halal organizations and authorities telling you this is halal, this is haram. Everyone is so careful. You see this ingredient, they say it's haram, that ingredient is haram. We worried about what goes in. We need to be concerned about what comes out of the mouth also. Together with that, whatever goes in and out, it's still your mouth, it's still the tongue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. You know, with this tongue, think of it, what it does is amazing. It tastes the different types of food. Bitter, sweet, that which doesn't have a taste, that which is salty, every different type, that which is delicious. Your tongue has a whole system of its own. So Allah has given us that tongue to taste. Surely now, when we utter words, we should be tasting Allah. When we utter words, we should be tasting Allah. What does that mean? That is a metaphorical statement, which means when we speak, we should be able to feel that whatever I am saying is also in the pleasure of Allah. Now you'll be able to taste the sweetness of that iman. Someone swears you don't have to swear them back. You can smile back at them, they look like a fool. It's a fact of life. Someone wants you to fight with them, just look at them, walk away. That's the Quran. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant speak to the good believers just say, salama, peace, and they carry on. They don't waste their time. Which means you walk away without uttering anything extra. Those are rules and regulations that we need to adopt so that we can be the best of people. Now, We have a category whereby I was explaining the entire environment is hostile against us. Hostile. You have a scarf you are wearing. It is very difficult. Why? People will laugh at you. That laughter makes it hard. You need to have some form of spiritual strength to wear it. You want to keep a beard? It's difficult. Why? People will laugh at you. They'll call you names. But Allah says, today they will laugh at you.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ
The criminals in the dunya, they used to laugh at the believers. And Allah says on the day of Qiyamah,
فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ
On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give the opportunity to the believers to say, now laugh at them, let's see. Allahu Akbar. So it's only if they laughed at you that you will have the opportunity to laugh back. But we didn't give them the opportunity to laugh at us. They say, there is one of the ulama I heard saying some time back, and I've repeated this a few times, saying that if a woman in a Western environment or in a non-Muslim country wants to know if she is dressed Islamically or not, if anyone has passed negative comments or laughed at her at any point in her life, she's dressed properly. If not, she still needs to dress properly. Imagine that's the criteria. You have a beard. Someone somewhere needs to have called you something at least. Even jokingly, they need to have called you something. That's a sign, inshallah, that you are heading in the right direction. People who wear topis, for example. Someone somewhere will say something. At least once in your life, twice, depending even on the area you are living in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong. But if we give up because of people's comments, we will never ever improve. We become those who are worse than animals. Do animals give up because of people's comments ever? Do animals change their ideas because of people's comments? No. You know, you take a look at the ant of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's time. The ant looked at the other ants, and that ant says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ دُخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ
O ants, all ants, O ummah of ants, get into your houses, lest Sulaiman comes across and tramples over all of you. Imagine, one ant was concerned about the entire ummah. If every one of us had to be concerned only about our own society, forget about the whole ummah. Only about our own society in the same way, where you see harm on someone else, you make like it's your own harm. We would solve the problem of the ummah. But nay, we are worse. May Allah safeguard us. Each one is living his own life. I'm worried about myself and so on. We don't get anywhere. Because today there is an environment that is hostile. If I am going to tackle it on my own, I'm not going to succeed. I need to collectively support the cause of anyone who is trying to assist in that direction. I give you another example. You have a Muslim school, for example. Even if it's not the ideal, it has a Muslim bias. They are allowing you, for example, to wear a scarf for the girls, or to wear a trouser to cover your legs for the girls, or even for the boys to wear something below their knees and so on. What would happen? Sometimes shaitan will highlight one or two negative points. So now we say, no, that's a bad school. Leave your children out of there. Or you say, that old man who's running this place here, nah, we've had some raw business deals with him. Leave it, man. We'll go somewhere else. Now, will the problems of the Muslim ummah solve? They won't. Why? Because someone who tried something, we didn't support them. Because of one, two petty issues. It's time we put aside these petty issues. If there are serious cracks, like I know of one school that invited me, the debate was, it's supposed to be a school with a Muslim bias. I wouldn't say Muslim school, but Board of Trustees Muslims. They wanted to introduce music as a subject. Oh, then I said, no, this is a crisis. Now everyone can threaten to withdraw their children, no problem. Why? Because then only we are going to solve the problem. Because that is something major. What is the issue? We are compromising. The whole reason why we left the other schools was this. And we come here and this is what people are trying to fight to say, no, there are a few non-Muslims here. We've got to introduce it as a subject. Nay, tell them, carry on. Someone phoned me today and told me that recently there was a unity conference in Britain, in Great Britain. And they said that a lot of ulama were there, people were giving good lectures and so on, and one man came and played the guitar. One man came and played the guitar. And he sang Muslim songs, and his name is Yusuf Islam. May Allah grant us all taraqqi, inshallah. He came and he played the guitar. So they asked me, what is your opinion? I said, I don't have an opinion, but Islam does. I don't have an opinion, Islam has an opinion. Don't ask me what's my opinion, but I want to tell you something. What did they do there? They said, no, somebody raised it. Somebody afterwards, on air, they raised it and said, you know what? Why, this is an Islamic conference where we are trying to speak of unity of the Ummah, and someone is coming here to play a guitar. What is this? So one of the brothers got up and said, no, it's all about tolerance. Just tolerate things and keep quiet for now, inshallah. Just leave it and carry on. So they asked me, what do you think of that answer? I said, let me tell you. Should 10% tolerate 90% or should 90% tolerate 10%? It's simple. If 10% of the people think that that was right, and the 90 should tolerate us, is that fair? Or should those 10 say, you know what, we are only 10%, 90 of them disagree, let's tolerate the 90, we are a small amount. Islamically, what would be more correct? Even if we didn't look at what was right and wrong. But Islamically, if you want to talk about tolerance, who should tolerate who? The minority should tolerate the majority. But this is the condition and the plight of the Ummah. So very soon, you will have some members of the Ummah tolerating gays and lesbians. To say, no, never mind, leave them. Na'udhu billah. Today we're talking about it, we can't imagine it. Tomorrow it shall happen. But from today, we need to solve our problems. And our problems are many. Solve the major ones, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong and steadfast. So one might ask, so what is the solution now? We've heard what was said. We've heard that there are categories of people, those who are good, those who are similar to animals, and those who are worse than animals, who are calling people to things that animals have never thought of. Even if we understood the term freedom, how animals understood it, we would not arrive at certain issues and items. What to do? Let me inform you. Each one of us needs to become responsible. And each one of us needs to ask himself or herself, how can I make myself a better Muslim? And I tell you how. We need to study our lives on a daily basis. Daily basis. Set aside some time. Every day, sit and ponder. What have I done today? How did I speak to people? What time did I get up? How long did it take me to do wudu? How long did it take me to do salah? How many rakats did I read? How quick did I go to the masjid? How much Quran did I read? We need to improve on it every single day. A person not reading Quran on a daily basis, start off reading 2 ayats a day. In 365 days, you've already read somewhere like 800, in fact 700 and something ayats. Because you're reading 2 ayats a day. But if you don't start with those 2 ayats, the year will pass and you're still going to say, ajay, kale, today, tomorrow, it will never start. For example, how much dhikr do you do in the day? Say 10 times subhanallah, 10 times. Say 5, say 1 time, come on. If you said it 1 time, you write it down, alhamdulillah. The next day when you're doing muraqabah, when you're taking account of your deeds, you say, no, I said it 1 time. Tomorrow I'll say it twice. You're improving. You know what amazes a lot is that when it comes to dunya, you're getting a salary of 500 rands. 1 month passes, you go, hey boss, you know what, it's not enough, man. I need 600. All right, never mind, 600. Then you come again, 2-3 months pass, hey, I need promotion, man. You don't get promotion, you say, hey boss, I'm resigning. It's a fact. Why? I'm going for greener pastures. People think fast because it's business. When it comes to deen, why can't we do that? You know what, I'm reading 2 subhanallahs, let me read 3 now, it's too little. 2 is too little now. Let me read 4, let me read 5. Alhamdulillah. Let me engage in my salah. How am I talking to my family members? How much time do I spend with my wife and children? How many times have I made them smile? How many jokes have I cracked with my own wife or my husband or my parents or even my children? Remember, everyone has a different category of jokes you can crack. You can't crack the same category of jokes with everyone. You need to know that. It's something, I'm just mentioning this because laughter is also our duty. Laughter within the limits. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make his family and them and laugh also. He used to pass good comments where they used to, him himself, there is a description of how broad his smile was. And how he used to laugh without a sound. Now today we laugh, ha 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 ha, for half an hour we can't stop. But anyway, we are weak. We are not saying something is haram, but it's detested. It's not the right way of doing things. May Allah safeguard us. So we need to understand, everyone needs to improve on a daily basis. We need to take account of our deeds. We have to. That is the solution. And if I take account of my deeds, I see, where am I going wrong? Okay, I haven't done this. Say, for example, there is a woman, she hasn't yet covered her head, for example. She can say, okay, I'm going to buy a scarf, I'm going to do it like this. I will wear it on a quarter of my head. Then after 2 weeks, I'll wear it on half of my head. After that, I'm not condoning this. I'm not saying it's right. I'm only teaching you a few steps. That's all. Now, ideal, we know where it is. It's quite high up. But we're talking of someone who doesn't even have an idea. Someone who doesn't even want to do things. We need to help them to say, look, you better start somewhere, man. Come on. At least get that scarf and put it on your back. So, in preparation for landing, if you know what I mean. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Because if we don't do that, you'll find there's going to be a crash landing and we were caught unawares. Then it'll be too late. So, then also, for example, some of the brothers say, and I always give an example of a beard. We all know the status of it in Islam. If you're weak, you haven't yet got it and so on, start somewhere. I normally give the people example of, whenever you're shaving, leave one hair this side, one hair that side. 365 days, how many? You got 700 and something hairs. 365 this side, 365 that side. Alhamdulillah, you are getting somewhere. By 2-3 years, mashallah, you got a nice beard. Even if you cropped it a little bit, another 2-3 years, you can release it slightly. Let it head downwards also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. But you need a plan. Without a plan, your life will pass 30-40 years. We're still seeing that, hey, you know what? I'm on the same level. And we should not look down upon others. We might think that, oh, this man has a weakness. We might have 10 other weaknesses. طُوبَى لِمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَيْبُهُ عَنْ عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ. Famous saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, good news to the one whom his own weaknesses keep him occupied from entering into other people's weaknesses. You want to give general advice, alhamdulillah. We don't want to despise anyone. We don't want to doom anyone. Inshallah, we want to give hope. And if we head in this direction, we can only head to Jannah. The reason I say this is, and I want to end with this, whenever there is a niyyah, an intention, the reward is already written with that intention. When the hadith says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, I'm sure we've heard it so many times. Definitely all actions are judged by their underlying intentions. So if you made an intention that, look, I am going to go 10 minutes early for salah. And then what happens is you died before you went for salah, Allah has already written your reward with that intention. Why? Because you had an intention to go, and most probably if you were alive, you would have gone. So the same applies when someone says, Ya Allah, I intend to give up this bad habit I have. Make me strong. If the person starts, say for example, it's drinking. I'm giving you a typical example, some of the people. A man is drinking, for example, 5 bottles a week. Then he says, Ya Allah, I'm giving this up. So the following week he says, I'm only drinking 4, I've given up 1. Remember, we're not condoning it here, not at all. I'm only speaking of people who are really in the dumps. Then 4, then 3, then 2, then 1. If that person dies, inshallah, we hope from Allah that Allah knows that this man was serious. He might even write down that this person has given the habit up. Allahu Akbar. But this person who's 5, sticking to 5, gets to 6 sometimes and comes back to 5 and 6, has no intention of anything. They're not even walking to the right path. Like this, you're walking towards the right path. And then you die whilst walking to the right path. Inshallah, Allah will write your reward as though you were on the right path. Allah does not achieve anything by punishing us. Nothing. He's looking for any excuse to forgive us. Let's give him that excuse, inshallah. So we have a bad habit. Cut it down and prove to Allah. We are doing it to show Allah alone. No one else. We don't want to show this man or that man or this woman or that woman that we are doing this or that. We want to show Allah that, Ya Allah, look, I'm showing you. This thing here, I'm cutting it down. Ya Allah, you've seen it. I've cut 1. I've cut 2. I've cut 3. I've cut 4. If it's regular, inshallah, we will come out of the mess. And then inshallah, we save ourselves. Who else? We save our children. Getting to the verse. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, safeguard yourselves and your family members from the fire of Jahannam primarily. That's the first class of people we are meant to save. Ourselves, firstly. That is the only time our families shall be saved, when we have saved ourselves. If I've eradicated my bad habits, inshallah, I can expect my children also to eradicate their bad habits. Why? Because I shall lead by example. But when I myself need so much attention, how am I going to even guide the children that I have been made a guardian of? And for this reason, each one of us needs to be role models in his or her own home. When our children look up to us, they must see stars. They must see people that are really shining examples. I want to be like daddy. I want to be like mommy. Those are the most successful children. But today, daddy is busy stealing, deceiving, pinching. Mommy is not even dressed properly. Half her life, she might be on the phone and so on. In some cases. I hope these are rare cases. But this is what's happening. May Allah make us strong, inshallah. So, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can be believers, those who love the rules and regulations of Islam, those who can adopt them, those who are resurrected with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are not like animals, nor those who are worse than animals. May Allah save us and our offspring from bad habits, bad qualities. May Allah use us to uplift this Muslim ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all spiritual upliftment to the degree that the day He takes us away, He is happy with us and pleased with us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.